Today's offering was at the Mount Zion meeting, the fourth Sunday in March 1974.
I bless the Lord in the word of prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, once more in thy loving kindness, thou hast enabled several of thy believing people to be gathered together at this place where prayer is going to be made. And in the hope that we have the desire given to us in our hearts, that our coming together shall be for no other purpose than to worship thee, the only true and the living God. And that we might be blessed with thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, to forget for a little while at least our trials and troubles that we are heir to from in our daily living here in this time world, in which we have many trials and troubles and tribulations and sorrows. That if we're not deceived, Lord, thou hast done great things for thy people. Thou hast revealed to them that thou hast loved them, even when they were dead in trespasses and in sin, and that thou wast pleased to ordain the way, and the only way, that they should be rescued, as it were, from their sins and their iniquity. And that way was, O Lord, because of the great love that thou didst have for them, even though they were unworthy, or even unworthy thy notice. And so if we're not deceived, thou wast revealed to us in our hearts, in the way that thou hast ordained that thy people shall know that thou hast loved them and chosen them in thy Son before the world began, by quickening us to the knowledge of the truth that we are dead in trespasses and in sin so far as our flesh is concerned. That even though we're dead in trespasses and in sin, yet thou hast brought us to that wonderful and glorious birth, new birth, being born with the Spirit of our God. And thou hast made us to hate the things of this mortal life and our flesh, because we have been killed to the things that we once enjoyed, and we cannot any longer go along with those things, but we desire the rather, O Lord, be led of thy Spirit, that we might walk humbly and softly before thee, before the brethren, before the world, and that we might in some wonderful way show forth, if it is thy will, that thou hast been with us, and that thou hast weaned us away from the foolish things, the vain, perishing things of this life, and hast set our hearts and our minds upon things which are heavenly and divine. For we know so well, O Lord, that our mortal life, our daily living, is only for a short period of time, but that hope that thou hast given us, O Lord, there's a hope of eternal life, a hope that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus from all of our sins and our iniquities, and that thou hast given us to look beyond this mortal life, beyond this our death, mortal death, looking beyond that, and rejoicing to have seen and felt something of the peace and joy that belongs to thy people because of thy goodness and thy mercy. And Lord, we know that we are not able to come before thee to tell thee what thou oughtest to do. We have no desire to do that, because thou hast made us to realize that we are only creatures of the day, and we don't know what the next moment will bring forth. But thou hast revealed thyself to us as an all-wise God, a sovereign God, one that works his will in the honors of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And therefore, seeing that we are so little and so weak and unworthy, thou hast given us peace, O Lord, only when thou hast made us and enabled us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, thou knowest what each one that is here by this morning stand in need of. For each one have our several problems, our several trials and tribulations and sorrows, but thou knowest all about us. Thou knowest what we each one stand in need of. We pray therefore that thy will be done, because we come not in our own strength and name, because we have no strength, we have no name of ourselves before thee, but rather we come in the name of that mediator, the only mediator that thou hast given between thee and us. So as he was given to mediate that he was given to die to redeem us from our sins. When we come before thee, O Lord, we would come in his name, begging of thee and pleading of thee according to thy will, that thou would yet remember us with pity and compassion, because while thou hast given us hope, and yet, O Lord, we realize that we're still yet in these most earthly, mortal bodies of ours, and we hate the things and notions of the sins of our flesh. We love the things that thou hast revealed unto us for thy mercy and thy grace. And we pray thee, therefore, to lead us each day, to guide us by thine unerring spirit, and be with us, O Lord, as we go forth facing the things of this our mortal life, that we might be given grace, O Lord, to walk softly, that we might be given grace, O Heavenly Father, in these troublesome days, when it seems that the whole world is turned upside down in some wonderful way, that we might look to thee, knowing that thou art yet ruling and reigning, overruling, reigning in all the things of this world. The king's hand is heart is in thy hand, and the rulers, the government, the headmen and government are in thy hand. And we don't know what thy will is, Father, but we know that thou wilt do thy will, and whatever the end of it is according to our will and purpose, that it shall be good and right, because it is thy will. So bless us, Father, this morning, that we might worship thee. Stir up our pure minds, so we'll remember all the promises that thou hast made, and the commandments that thou hast given unto thy people through and the pastors and thy prophets, that we might be mindful of these things and live by thy spirit to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Be with us, therefore, as it is. Stand by us in the hour of death, and then save us at last. In heaven, we pray to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm often aware of the fact, my brethren, that our preaching and our attempts to worship Father God is in some way a repetition, and yet these things are ever new, even though sometimes we wake up in the morning and face a new day, naturally speaking. And so we face a new day so that everything is new to us. But we feel the desire that the Lord may be pleased to bless us with that spirit of understanding, so that we may have it revealed unto us, that we might have it revealed unto us that He is our God, and that we, by His grace, are His people. But we realize so well that it is only by the grace of our God that we are what we are. I'm sure that when we come together, our desire is to hear something as the Spirit of the Lord may direct us. Hear something of the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the power and the sovereignty of our God. We can hear and do hear so much of everything else in the world except the sovereignty of God, that we become sick and tired of it from a natural standpoint, simply because this world is not our home. We realize that we're in the world. Every one of us realize that. We're in the world here for a short period of time, comparatively speaking, that we're here in this world according to the time that God has set and fixed for each and every one of us. And I hope that there's none on the sound of my voice this morning of what have been given to believe that this is truth, and that God is ruling and reigning, overruling, superruling, whatever you might call it, over all time, all worlds, and all events. And when we begin to remember the teaching of the Spirit of our God, how frail we are in our flesh, not to say how unworthy we are, the judge should look upon us with pity or compassion, then we marvel at the That's a wonderful thing that God has through His Spirit revealed in His Word. And I feel that also it is true that the Father reveals in the hearts of His people by the same Spirit and by the same power that He enabled, that His God enabled holy men of old, His servants of old, His life as He moved them. And if we do not have the same inspiration, we do not have the same teaching, if we have not had the Spirit of God speaking as it were in our hearts, then indeed the Scriptures mean but little, if anything, to us. But the writer, the apostle, said, "He that believeth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh hath a witness within." And so, if we have a witness within, haven't you been amazed sometimes when you read the life and the history and the things that our brethren in days of old in the Old Testament as well as in the New, how that they went through many experiences, and somehow or the other they feel to reach back over the centuries and find in our hearts the fellowship for the brethren, because they testified, sometimes testified of their weaknesses, but they testified more in their ungodly acts and the things which were not according to godliness. They testified to those things, and we find ourselves going right along in our natures with those things. And so we marvel, as I said, at the grace of God. Because the ordinary person believes or feels that it is true that God deals with us according to what we desire of Him. But now, that sounds good on the surface, doesn't it? But those of us, and I hope all of us, have been taught the Lord, and we have learned over and over again. As the apostle said in me, that is in my flesh, it was no good thing. And so if you and I were depending upon mercy as a reward for what we are or what we deserve in our flesh, we should never receive one bit of peace or joy or any comfort whatsoever. But what a wonderful thing it is, brethren, to having to realize that and to know full well that even while we were yet dead in trespasses and in sin, notice it, while we were yet dead in trespasses and in sin, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. He sent forth His Son because He had ordained before the world began, and had chosen His people in His Son before the world began. And therefore, in the fullness of time, because everything that God does is in the fullness of His time, that is, at the time He is preordained and fixed or predestinated it, and fixed it so that at that very time that everything is working together, coming together, to accomplish those things which the Father has from eternity, before the world began, He had decreed that they should come. Now, I came this morning to a scripture which is very familiar to, I hope, familiar to all of us. It's written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, in his second epistle to Timothy. He said to him, beginning with the 8th verse, the first chapter, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, not of me His prisoner, nor be thou the taker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our work, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought to light and immortality, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Lord willing, I center my thoughts with the pleased to enable me. We center my thoughts especially upon the ninth verse, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Still having trouble with my eyes, and I probably will stumble over some of these things, but I hope that tomorrow, according to the account of this, I may receive my blessing. I surely hope so. Now, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling? I've always been glad, every time I've ever been given to meditate or to think of this scripture, I've always been glad that the apostle, under the power of the Spirit of God, put first things first, and necessary things to follow after the first things. Because, my brethren, all things are in order, according to the eternal will and the purpose of our God. Everything is working together. There is no working apart, but all things, we being confident of this very spirit, we might say that all things are working together. As the apostle said in chapter 1, we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. He didn't say it was working together for good to everybody. He said to them, this thing, we share this thing, we know that all things, and he didn't limit to say all things, but he did say all things, work together for good to them who are the called of the Lord, and so forth. So, then, as I have called your attention many times to the fact that the scriptures were not written as is commonly understood, commonly believed that the scriptures are written to everybody, to those who are believers, those who are not believers. But if you will notice, we don't have to be too careful to notice, but we should be very careful, we should be very careful to notice that every one of the epistles were addressed to the church of the living God. One of them said to those of like precious faith, yes, who have obtained like precious faith with us. And so, my friends and brethren, the apostle in writing under his own people, his kinfolk. And he's writing about things that his people, his kinfolk, know something about. He's not bringing up before them things new, so that they have to go to the book, some book, or go to some so-called wise men to ask him what he's talking about. Because if he has been part of the Lord, he's been made to know things. He has a witness, as I quoted. Either they that Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus, I believe, at one place says, has come into the world, he has to witness with him. So I am fully persuaded in my feelings about the matter that the Lord sends forth the same Spirit, the same power indeed, in the heart that is each and every one of his people. He sends it forth into their heart as an individual. And he teaches them the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And this, as I will emphasize, is the same Spirit, the same power that enables holy men of old to write as God moves them. They were inspired to write. I cannot conceive in any way whatsoever that Moses just sat down and decided he would write a history or an account of these things, that the prophets just sat down and write something, and it all so works together. It's a wonderful thing. I don't know of any writing in all the world that is so coordinated and so works together, even though it was written in many centuries apart, perhaps. And yet we're all talking about the same thing. We're all bringing to light the eternal will and the purpose that God had in giving the scriptures unto his people. It is the scriptures, as I sometimes pointed out, is not a history, It's not intended to be a history, a profane history of the world, but rather the scriptures contain those things that God is pleased to reveal to the household of faith, to bring them into the knowledge of the truth as he reveals the spirit in their heart. So that as I would, and I may say, I would say again, my brethren, as I would every time that I think about it, come on before my brethren, I believe and you believe the scriptures truth, and there's no contradiction in the scriptures, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there's a lot of people don't believe that. As I pointed out, there's a lot of people that don't believe that God was a creator. There's a lot of people that I said last Sunday, I believe it was, a lot of people don't believe in what is sometimes called the original sin. That we are sent, that our forefathers transgressed the law, and therefore to being their children, that we are transgressors of the law. And God said to Adam and Eve, or to Adam in that day, said that in the day that I eat this egg, I shall surely die. Why, it was to reveal to Adam and all of the posterity, and especially my friends and brethren, only unto those of the Adam family that God had chosen in his son before the world began, to reveal unto them that it is not by the works of the law, not by our righteousness that we are justified, but rather the works of the law, sin when it is finished, bringing forth death, as you know, by the law is an outage of sin, and therefore when the Spirit takes the things of the law, which is holy and just and good, and applies it into your heart, it shows up just what you have inside of you, which you had not known before. Do you remember the old brethren used to say that God turns our eyes within? He turns the eyes of his people within. And there they behold terrible things that they didn't know was in them before. And so this is the way. Paul said when the commander came, sin was died and he died. And when the law was held up to the apostle, you know, he thought that he was doing the things that the law required, and therefore he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Therefore he was quickened and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Well, as a matter of fact, the law worked in him, my brethren. You beg him to receive himself as a poor, helpless, well-deserving sinner. That's what it did. It didn't bring him to see Jesus, but it brought him to see that he was a condemned sinner. And then it was that God revealed in his heart to reveal Jesus. Now, we cannot find out Jesus ourselves. Try as hard as you might. Read about Jesus and all the wonderful and glorious things that he did here in this world. But unless that is a personal application in the experience of the Lord's people, that Jesus is the Christ, that unless we have that witness, I say again, within, we cannot realize, though we read it 1,000 times, we cannot realize that this Jesus is the one that was ever with the Father, and that the Father sent it here in his own good time, in the fullness of time, that he should bring to light and to us in, as John the Baptist said, preaching that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And therefore, he showed that the axe was laid at the root. And all those things which the Pharisees and all the Sadducees and every other one who feels in some other of this, who feels that they're worthy, they're cut down, they're hewn down to show that it isn't by the works of the flesh, nor the works of the law that we're justified. And so, here it is, here the apostle writing to Timothy. He said, he has saved us and called us with the holy calling. I said, I believe that I'm glad that he put those things first, because the saving, my brethren, I was about to say it a long time before, but I don't know about that. When the saving was a long time before that the calling came to you and to me, as we hope, you know that, because, my brethren, God loved these people before the world began. And the eternal love of God was such that he chose his people in his son before the world began. He gave them to his son. And shall I say, he gave his son to them. That's true.
And he saved them. He saved them. God arranged it. He fixed it. He determined it that they should be saved even before the world began. But the calling, my brethren, as you know, as you have experienced, the calling comes when that Spirit of God stirs you up. When you even though you're dead and suffices in sin, it stirs you up. And he calls you out. And you remember in the chapter of Romans said, he whom he predestinated, then he also called. Yes, he also called. And over here in Hebrews it said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Heavenly calling. And so you will wonder perhaps, well, have I ever had a calling? Have I ever had it revealed to me that Jesus is my Savior, that Jesus is the Christ? Have I ever had it so wonderfully and grossly impressed in my very being that though I am such a vile sinner in my flesh and unworthy even of God's notice, and yet I have been given a hope of eternal life. I've been given a hope of eternal life. Now these are wonderful things, brethren, very important things. Because unless, and I think about it as I have expressed it perhaps many times to you, I would have you to remember that salvation, the evidence of God's grace, God's mercy, begins while we yet live here in this world. It doesn't begin afterwards. So that if you have been given a hope of eternal life, sometime while you live, that hope is not removed from you. No, because the apostle said, being very confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so, my brethren, this hope that we have is the most wonderful thing in all the world. And yet, how few, in my way of looking at it, how few there are among all the multitudes of the world to know what we're talking about when we talk about a hope for eternal life. I think I said from this very place here one time that they that who do not have a hope do not have an answer. So it's a very important thing as the brethren, all you brethren, sisters and friends will realize. It's a very important thing to have witnessed within and feeling the power of God as it surrounds you sometimes and speaks in the heart and causes you to stand still and to look and to listen, as it were, to those heavenly things which are spoken and says the soul that sins to die. No wonder, I'm teaching the Spirit of God. I thought about Adam and Eve when they found themselves that they were naked. They didn't know it before, but when their eyes were opened, they were naked and began to hide. And they said, Who art thou, Lord? And they had to confess that they were naked. So we have to confess, brethren, under the same power, the same Spirit of our God, we confess. When we got to see ourselves as the vilest of all creatures. Now, it's not a very pleasant thing to talk about how vile we are and how unworthy we are. I'm not ashamed to say, my brethren, that I have seen sometimes myself as the vilest of all the creation of our God, most unworthy. And I know that's true because my thoughts are evil, my actions are often evil, but they came to peace, they came to joy, they came to consolation. And I think you will agree with me that in the midst of your sorrows and troubles and sighs, which we everyone has here, and our doubts and fears and our trembling, that we go along and realize that we have nothing in ourselves, nothing in us. But always, somehow, I can remember the place, maybe it's not necessary. I know it isn't necessary to remember all the circumstances or even the time or the place. But I remember the time and the place when I was brought to see myself as the body system. I wasn't fit to God to look down from heaven. I knew his all-seeing eye was everywhere present, and he knew my every thought, everything that I had ever done, and everything I had ever done to condemn me. And I wasn't fit that he should look upon me. But my brethren, the Apostle Paul had the same experience I feel, not that I can compare myself with him, but if he had an experience of grace, if you have an experience of grace of being brought out of darkness and through the marvelous life and given the hope of eternal life, then you have just as great a hope and just as much of a hope as the apostle had. So he said, he has saved us and called us. Now he's called us because he's already saved us. And therefore he says, he has saved us and called us, not according to our works. Now, I must impress this, he's not necessary, but I said before, of course. But he said, not according to our works at all. Everybody religiously, except those who have been taught of the Lord, and I'm not going to accept anybody, everybody that who has not been brought under the teaching of the Spirit of God, they want to be rewarded. That's the reason you see so much going on in the world. Somebody came to my door yesterday, and she wanted to know if I had children to go to Sunday school. They were making up a bus, I think it was, to take children to Sunday school. Well, now, probably would not want to admit to be expected to be blessed twice, but I'm satisfied better than that's the very foundation. And people want to be blessed for what to do. Charles Houses, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He thought he was a righteous man. He believed he was a righteous man. And therefore, he was looking to the things of his flesh, what he had done. And that Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray, he was expecting, he was trying to tell the Lord what a good man he was, what a good fellow he was. And he didn't know anything about grace, apparently. He didn't say anything about grace, but he was telling the Lord how often he'd prayed and how often he'd given tithes and all of these things. But when we compare what this Pharisee knew and that poor publican standing as you have stood, no doubt, far off and somehow afraid, ashamed, some expression to look up to heaven and said, only beg God to have mercy upon me. If you have ever begged God to have mercy upon you, as I sin and confess around the grave, as I noticed, it shows, my brethren, and it's a sure sign that the Lord has had pity upon you, because no man or woman is going to confess what a vile sinner they are until that vileness is welded up in them and they realize that they're not fit that God should look upon them. And so he saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now Jesus said, you remember, that all that the Father give me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now it is, of course, easily understood that God sent his Son into the world to make the way possible and possible that everybody should be saved. But I fail to find any such thing as that in the scriptures. I hear it so often, I hear it time after time, over and over and over again, what God wants the people to do. And if they will just do it, they're all right. If they don't do it, what's all wrong? I tell you, my brethren, that these people who are expecting the Lord to pay them for what they do, whatever it may be, or whatever they think that they're doing to promote the kingdom of God, they have a false understanding of what they are, and God never does bless the person for the things he desires, even though he may think he's promoting the kingdom of God. But he blesses us, my brethren, even when we're dead in sin. He comes down to where we are. He doesn't say to us, if you come up, no, if he would said to you, when you were at your lowest point and unfit for God to look upon you, and if he just said, come up out of that pit, he would have said to David, if you'll just come up out of that pit, I'd have a pit in my place, and I'd have mercy upon you. David would still be right down in that pit. But thanks be unto our God, when he comes down to a poor sinner, he doesn't say, come up, he comes down to where they are, and he brings them up. Now, that's the truth of it. And so it isn't that we're not rewarded for what we do, we're not rewarded for our work. But rather, my brethren, because that God told his people before the world began, he has saved us. Because they were saved from all eternity, he sends forth his Spirit in their hearts and calls them out of darkness in the flesh and brings them to see and to know and to rejoice in the fact that the Lord has loved them even when they were dead in trespasses and sin. Now he says here, but not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now I'm not ashamed of this doctrine. I said sometimes, I thought often, that I'd be ashamed to stand before anybody, I don't care who it would be, and tell them that that the Lord wants something and he can't have it because Ben won't cooperate with him. But I'm glad to say, my brethren, that I believe in this scripture according. Not according to our works, but according to his own, that is God's purpose and God's grace. God's grace according, shall I say, to his eternal will and the purpose of our God, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, who do you hear preaching such doctrine as that? I dare say that there's a very rare occasion that you hear such on the television or radio. Now, the popular preachers of today, they say that God wants certain things, and one of them said on the television, radio, I believe not too long ago, as we were driving along, that God wants to demonstrate what he wants us to do. And my brethren, God doesn't demonstrate what he wants us to do. I believe that God stops us as he stops all of pastors in a mad career while we're dead and so fast we're in sin. And God stops us. And by the power and the authority of that voice that is still about God, he speaks, and we fall to the earth and say, in substance, what Paul Saul of Tarsus said, Lord, who art thou? That will tell him what he did. And so it isn't according to our work, but it's according to the eternal will and the purpose of our God, given in Christ Jesus before the world began. And therefore, what Jesus came when he came, he said, I came not to do mine own will. I thought about then Jesus was, as a matter of fact, God manifest in the flesh, you know. And Jesus knew exactly in every detail for what purpose his Father had sent him here into the world. And he knew that that was to redeem his people. Jesus, I'm fully convinced, and Jesus knew his people. Those that he saw, those that he came in contact with, he knew them. He knew them when they fought off. He didn't have to have somebody to tell him, I believe that you are the Christ. No, not that. But Jesus knew them. He knew them afar off. And he knew them all the while. And so Jesus, in some way, Jesus knows his people. And he also knows others that are not his people. Because he said, I know you. Speaking to thee, I know you. You are of your father the devil. And his works you will do. And so there is a great difference between those who are called with a holy calling, not according to the works, but according to his own, that is God's own purpose and grace which he's given us in Christ Jesus for the world again. And so there's a difference there. Those who have been called out of darkness and into the marvelous light, and whose hearts the Lord is shining, why do you command the light to shine out of darkness, shines in our hearts, the hearts of his people, to give us the light of the knowledge to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He shines in that heart, he shines in our hearts. And he does it because, my brethren, that his own purpose and grace was given to us as individuals and as the whole collective church before the world began. And therefore, he knows every one of them, and he sends forth his spirit into your heart. I am fairly of this understanding that God has a people in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue in the world, everywhere they are. He knows them. They may be so ignorant that they couldn't read and write. They may be so ignorant that they just live like beasts almost. And yet if they're the Lord's people, he knows them. And he sends forth his spirit in their hearts and hands. And I'm not ashamed to say that God knows them that he is. And he gives them some wonderful and glorious way to realize sometime while they're here that God is their God and that they are the Lord's people because of the grace and the mercy of our God. And so, my brethren, it isn't according to our work, but it is according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. But He said, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Yes. The prophet John the Baptist talked about Jesus, you know. And he said, there's one standing in his midst, so that's the true truth. He wasn't aware to sit down and live. But he said, I must decrease. I'm not the one who's to come. I must decrease, but he must increase. And so we see him pointing out Jesus there, and he says, behold the Lamb of God. They take it away the sins of the world. And so John the Baptist testified of the coming of Jesus. He was a bright in the morning star, testifying that Jesus was here. So, behold, the Lamb of God, as I said, and testifying that the Lamb of God had come. He's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. Now, my brethren, this abolishing death doesn't mean that mortal, carnal death is abolished, not that. But I thought it this way sometimes, that the Lord in his dealings with his people, knowing that we must die, we are the earth earthy, and we're sinners, and because we're sinners and condemned sinners, we must die. And yet, my brethren, in these things our God has taken away the sting of death. And though we die, we shall not be afraid to go home, because somehow we have been enabled to see, we have been shown the something of the big beauties and the glories of that kingdom. And I think of John now when he said, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Sometimes, my brethren, don't you feel that you stand so far off, that you wonder indeed whether you have a hope of it, right, eternal life or not, whether you're a child of God or not. Those have been exercised in your hearts and minds. Sometimes you've been made rejoice. But some other times in the immediate presence of the Spirit of God, shall I say, we rejoice and be seemingly glad. Everything in the world is all right, even though we've had trials and troubles and tribulations and sorrows and all of these things. But now everything is all right, just to seek and feel the presence and have assurance that that hope that is implanted in our hearts is a good hope, that is, it is came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by the appearing of the Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the appearing of Jesus Christ in the world, my brethren, was an actual fact, of course, as was all of the work that he did was actual, and his dying upon the cross was actual, his resurrection was actual. But now, he's made manifest to us, each one as individuals. Now, the Apostle Paul said, am I not an apostle? Though Paul had never seen, so as I understand it, Paul had never seen the Lord Jesus Christ actually with his natural eyes. He says, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, he saw him in the whole spirit of the matter. In the very essence of the matter, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was an apostle with him, because the Lord had called him to stand and testify of the things that had been revealed to him, and the things that he had seen there on his way to Damascus. And so, what is now being manifested by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you needn't think that you can believe on Jesus Christ unless he has made his appearance in your heart. See, the wonderful glory is true. And so, my brethren and friends, these things that we're talking about here are the things that God gives to his people, brings them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. And said, here is that life. He has brought his death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Oh, what darkness we're in. As far as our place is concerned, what darkness we're in. Not knowing that we're dead in sin before, that the light shines, as I quoted, that God has commanded light to shine, our God to shine in our heart, to give us the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So it is only because of God sent for His Spirit in our hearts that we see we have the light and the knowledge of God's glory, and we can't have it any other way, because we're dead in Christ's understanding. We can't reach up and take it, have the other side to try to think about how good and gracious God is, Have you ever tried to recall the days when you thought that the Lord had mercy upon you, and somehow the other you just can't get a hold of it? And sometimes when you're not even thinking about it, you remember what a peace and joy and consolation it was. That all the doubts and the fears and the tremblings were taken away from you. Yes, and Jesus Christ was made manifest to you as your Savior. Don't you know, it's a wonderful thing. Lord, I do not understand it. And Nicodemus understood what Jesus was talking about. I hope he did, but I see no signs of it. I don't believe he did. He may have, I hope so. But he thought in question, why? How can a man be born again when he enters into his mother's womb and be born again? How do these things do? Well, that, of course, is in the spirit of the matter. Jesus said the windboard went lifted. Now you have to find out, since not the one to come to will of God, so as everyone is born the Spirit. And so, my brethren, you know what Jesus is talking about. Because if there has been, as I so often said, that there has been a mysterious working going on in your heart, mysterious because it is something you had no control of, something you couldn't think about, something you didn't even desire, but here it was working in your heart, a mysterious something rather, that brought you to see yourself as a hell-deserving sinner, and then got peace and joy. Yes, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, if you've been driven to love the church, love the doctrine, is that our Savior? If you can't have anything else, if you can't say amen to anything else in the world but the doctrine of God our Savior, it's a sure sign to me that you have been born the Spirit of God. Except a man be born of the water and the blood, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. These are necessary things, my brethren. That we be regenerated, we be born the Spirit, so we be quickened the Holy Spirit of our God. And when he quickens us, he reveals to us that Jesus is our Savior. And he has abolished the sting of death, as I shall put it that way. He's abolished death because, my brethren, though we realize who we live and must die, we do not realize that. And yet we put death off, we put our time off. Some of us may be sooner or later, but we try to put it off. But I'm glad sometimes, my brethren, when we can say that we're glad that all of these things are in the hands of our God. Death, even death and the resurrection is in the hands of our God. And it's well, because God doeth all things well. And he said, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Then he says to Timothy, hold fast upon the sound word, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, hold fast upon the sound word. I know, my brethren, that I hear. And I do too sometimes try to explain things in my own thinking, maybe, or maybe with somebody, using words that I would think, especially the same thought. But the apostle said, hold the form of sound words, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And so if we try to cover up the doctrine of predestination. And we say, well, it's all right, maybe not. Maybe it's hard to say we don't believe that God has fixed everything. I hope we're not guilty of that, but a lot of people are. And God has fixed everything. I believe he's fixed everything. Everything is coming to pass according to his eternal will and the purpose of God that he determined before the world began. And I don't believe that for one moment I can't understand that anything has gone wrong in the schedule that God determined before the world began, but everything is all scheduled time. I was a little bit amused in the newspaper the other day that China is very much worried because I think that they figured out that the world is 1,000th of a second behind time or something like that. I don't believe a word of that. I don't know anything about it. I don't think they do, and if it's behind time, it is according to the eternal will and the purpose of God, so we have nothing to worry about now. So all cast upon the sound words which thou hast heard of me. Here we believe that salvation is by grace, and that is what the Spirit teaches, that's what the Scriptures teach. Then let us not be ashamed to say that salvation is by grace, that by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God. So the apostle writing to Timothy, writing to him, and writing to us, because when he writes to one of his little ones, writes to one of his churches, writes to one of his brethren back in those days, he is writing to the whole church. He is writing to everyone individually. And it is unto us, he says, there Paul says to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, as I consider this, my brethren, I must consider it to be very, very, very important. Because it's one of the things that the apostles stressed so many times, Peter, Paul, and all the rest of them, and John, and all the rest of them, stressed it out. And God commanded the prophet to speak those things that he put in the mouth, diminish not a word. I tell you, my brethren, the doctrine of God, our Savior, is the only truth in the world. It's the only truth. But if we try to doctor it up and try to ease up on it a little bit, we're not preaching the gospel. So may God give us grace that in our thinking about these things, in our talking about them, and consulting one of another, we might hold fast the form of sound words. Which thou hast heard of me, Paul said to Timothy, heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And he was talking to us, my students and my brethren, because we have, if we are not deceived in the whole matter, we have the same faith, we have the same love, of the things that Jesus Christ accomplished for those brethren back in that day, that he accomplished for us. So I have nothing else to preach to you, nothing else to preach at all, but that he has saved us before the world began, calls us while we're in the world, and has abolished the fear of death, so that we have hope of eternal life, we have assurance. The apostle said, we have not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him and be satisfied. So the prospects of death might balance while this old body of ours may fear and die fear. And yet when we remember that Jesus has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, no, I'm with thee all the way, even unto the end of the world. One says, even unto death. Yes, he's with you daily. Sometimes we can feel the moving of his spirit. Sometimes we wonder that David would be far off of a long off and long journey or something like that. Has he forgotten to be gracious? Is this your experience? Have you thought about it? Have you wondered and wondered if God is forsaken you, Jesus is forsaken you? And you wonder if you have the hope to call or not? Well, you know, I hope that you do have those things sometimes. I hope that you, like David was, the Lord came down forever, you've got to be gracious. If you wasn't exercised this way, my friend, you would have no fellowship with the Apostle Paul. You'd have no fellowship with the other brethren. And I'll tell you, my brethren, you wouldn't have any fellowship with me, because I have so many fears and doubts and trembling. And yet sometimes, brethren, I can stand bold and say, I know, I just know, that my Redeemer lives. That he's just standing at the latter days on the earth. Yes, I just know that he's coming. God has fixed it in his eternal will and purpose that he's coming again. I don't know how long. Sometimes I think. Sometimes the bell has been expressing at the end is pretty close by, maybe, I don't know. But how it may be, my brethren, it's all in God's hands. All is well, because God is ruling, he's reigning, and he takes the devil and all of his works that so active we might think and is in the world today. God is still having him in his hands. And God, the devil, is not an independent being, but a creature of God that can go no further, not do anything other than that which the eternal will and the purpose of God, our God, shall overrule for his own praise, his own honor, and his own glory. May the Lord be with you, my darling. He is a gracious God. We have nowhere else to go. There's none other that can help. No wonder the apostle said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." We may try to go to somebody else. We may try to go to some political leader. He can't get you anywhere. But I tell you, my brother, that silent, still, silent voice that speaks sometimes in the house, even always, well, I do, I go around morning, wondering, all this, and sometimes it speaks the still, still, small voice. And when that's true, my brother, everything is all right.
Him. I don't seem to find him at the moment. Number 436. 10436. Page 176, the first. Well, the only hymn on the page is a good one. I want to say something, just a passing remark, my friends, and I don't want to be misunderstood. We have given a contract to a man, a roofer and a painter, to paint our roof, to clean the roof, and take all the loose stuff off of it, and a few little leaks around. I don't know just exactly when he gets here, seeing the weather breaks, I'm sure, but he's accepted the contract. And we have more than half of it has been, we have more than half enough, that is, been handed in to pay for it. And we're not begging to call, we don't have to beg, but if there's anybody that feels to give a dollar or two, we'd be glad to have it. Now, while we're sitting on page 176, the announcement opened door for reception of members. May I ask if I haven't heard how Earl Thompson is lately. Can anybody tell me? Well, I'm glad to hear that, but I've heard that much of it, but I haven't heard any more. And we're now going to open door for reception of members while we're sitting. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is nigh. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. O, receive my soul of life. Let's stand and sing. Thank you.
Heavenly Most Gracious Father, we know our hearts. We give you thanks to God's body together one more time. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the evidence of thy grace and thy mercy that thou hast given to each one of us during this pregnancy of this world. We pray thee, Father, to continue to lead us and guide us, giving us grace each day as we need thy grace, to be with us while we live, and then save us in death. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen.
This is all that is on this side of the tape, the first tape at this point.